Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
I want to begin with this. God created you with the power of imagination. There's not much power in a wish, but there is incredible power when we imagine future possibilities until they become a reality. Genesis chapter 13 is where I want to begin in Scripture, verse 14, and it reads like this. It says, "The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, 'Look around from where you are, to the north, the south, to the east, and to the west. All the land that you see, I will give it to you and your offspring," or to your children, "forever. So go walk through the length and the breadth of the land." And he goes on and he uses words like this. He says that your children are going to be so great in number that they will be like the sand of the seashore. Now, you might not realize why that was relevant for God to say to Abram in that conversation, but Abram didn't have any children at that point. And very possible already was realizing that his wife Sarah was barren. And God was just taking him on a walk and saying to him, "Abram, I want you to imagine a future that's different than the present. And I want you to have a picture of what I have in mind for your life and for your future." So Abram began to get a hold of that picture, and he passed that picture on to his children. And they imagined the future, generation by generation, the way that Abram had received it as a word picture from God. So this series is about, it's about you, like Abram, partnering with God by using your imagination to see God's will and God's promises come to pass in your life. And I want to clarify for some of you before I get any further into this teaching that your future is not all up to God, and it's not all up to us. And the reason I have to start there is because many people simply believe that whatever happens must be what God wants to happen. And whatever happens is the will of God, and that the will of God is whatever happens. And I want to arrest that thought, and I want to hit the buzzer on you and that concept today. And I want to say to you that there's a lot of things that are happening in our world right now that are not the will of God. Can I get any amen? There's a lot of stuff going on that is not according to God's design and God's plan in our lives and in our communities and in our nation. So when you begin to factor that in and realize that you gain awareness that God's will in our life is brought about by our partnering with God. And it's not all up to God, and it's not all up to us. God never forces his will on us, but rather he invites us to partner with him to hit the target of his will for our lives, to aim at the target, to envision the target, to see the target and to imagine ourselves hitting the target. See, you can think of it like this. Without God, we cannot, and without us, God will not. I mean, theologically, if you want some depth there, that's a whole lot right there to bite off and start to chew on. You can think of it like this. God wills that we would will for His will to be done in our lives. Are you tracking with me? So we oftentimes, we push it across the table and, well, God, you know, you're going to do whatever you want. No. God wills that we will, that His will. He's inviting us into a partnership to bring about His plan for our lives and for our future. And one of the greatest gifts of Scripture is the prophetic word pictures that it provides us. Like one of the greatest benefits of your Bible is that it's filled with word pictures. All right? Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, anybody seeing it? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy. Anybody seeing it? Come on. Word picture. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord till somebody offends me and makes me mad. That's not what the Bible says. It's a word picture, like I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Come on, how long? Forever. So in a world that where we're hit with negative, discouraging images on a daily basis, God's Word is full of word pictures that are designed to create positive images in our minds to guide us and to encourage us towards a future of hope. Are you with me? Shout amen. So what I want to do this weekend is I want to focus on specific ways that your imagination can create a powerful picture and a sustainable devotion to God's best for your life. And I want to begin with this. If you're taking notes, number one, I want to encourage you to have imagery that brings you into alignment with God. Imagery and pictures that bring you into alignment with God. Not in alignment with the negative, and not in alignment with the worry. I'm going to encourage you to not have those pictures, like to keep moving past pictures that are based on what your friends say and what the news says and the latest predictions that are scary. And I want to encourage you to bring your imagination into a place and to grab hold of the picture in your mind. All right, that is in alignment with God's word of hope and promise for your life. Like, this is a very powerful practice for all of us, is to not be opposed and in opposition to what God's picture is for us, but to locate the picture and to get on the page with the picture and to see the picture that is in alignment with God's plan and God's will and what God wants for our life. Even a golfer, if you talk to anyone who likes to golf, and actually this is true in any sport, but we'll focus on golfing, a golfer will tell you that his or her game is affected by what they imagine, by what he imagines before he takes the shot. A golfer will tell you that the best practice, whether you're amateur or pro, is to take a step back and to imagine the ball landing at a certain spot on the fairway. And there's something powerful about imagining and taking the picture and snapping the picture of where you see the ball going before you ever strike the ball. Whether you can be a professional. A professional will often say when they're in what we call the rough or, you know, off the fairway, that they're fighting away other images. They're fighting away images that are saying to them, oh my goodness, you're in trouble. Oh my goodness, you're going to mess up on this shot. Oh my goodness, you're the water. That they want to get all of that out of their mind, and they want to clear away for the imagery to happen in their mind before they ever take the shot. Because that's the way God created us. He created us with the ability to see the future in a way that would draw us toward what we're seeing. Are you with me? So when you imagine the worst, you hinder God's best. Which is why it's so important to have an imagination that is congruent and consistent and in alignment with God's promises for your life. So what you want to do is you want to read a scripture like in Romans 8, and it says that in all things God works for the good of them that love the Lord are called according. And you want to take a picture of that whenever things are really not going good in your life. And you want to see the picture that in all things God is working, even in this crazy time. In my own life, that there's something that God is working out. Like, He didn't create the problem, but He's right here in the middle of the circumstance. And He is planning right now something good to come out of my current. Yeah, and when life is out of control, it's about imagining that God is stepping into the chaos and God's using what was meant for evil for my good. It's about imagining that I'm never alone, that God is always with me. He is with me when I'm at school. He's with me when I'm at work. He's with me when the pressure is on. I don't imagine failure. I imagine my success. I refuse to imagine that I'm going to be defeated. I insist on imagining that I will have victory. The power of the picture. The second thing I want to encourage you to imagine is imagery of a generational legacy that is mighty. Somebody shout mighty. Somebody shout blessed. Somebody shout wealthy. Imagery of a generational legacy that is mighty, blessed, and wealthy in the land. 112th Psalm is where this wording comes from. And it reads like this. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in His commands. Their children will be mighty. Word picture. Word picture for every mom who is today, as I talk to you, you know, this past week, like you, my kids are driving me crazy. Like, you know, my 8-year-old, they say he has ADD, and oh my God, he's just like a crazy man coming through the house, and he can't focus, and I can't imagine like him ever amounting to anything good. Word picture. Pastor Kevin, like, these young people today. Pastor Kevin, they don't take responsibility. Like they can't ever be on time. I don't know if anybody noticed today, but in part of our video that we made for the weekend where we're announcing things and showing things and all that, I think the first part of it when they were talking about One Big Night, the screen was real broken up and you know, kind of messy. And the first service of the weekend, on Saturday night, I leaned over to my daughter, Jody, and I'm like, what's wrong with the cameras? And she's laughing. She said, nothing, Dad. That's cool. Like, that's, you know, it's student takeover weekend, and they took over the video, and all them lines, that's cool. It's kind of like jeans with holes in it, Dad. That's cool. That's what we like. Okay, yeah, good. From now on, we don't need to buy new cameras, because what we like is a perfectly great picture messed up. That's what we like. See, I'm having fun because it's so easy. It's amazing to me how every generation thinks theirs is the smartest. Right? You're smarter than your mom and dad. And now all the kids, like, they're crazy. Like, they're... And every generation seems to think that way about themselves. And welcome to the human race if you've had that mindset. But what we're doing at Champion Center, and it all really is part of just my heart and things God's put in my heart. I feel like one of the messages that God's given me to spreading as many places as I can. I'm invited to speak in conferences and churches on this topic over the last year or two, and it's been a lot of fun as people have embraced it. But that's what we're talking about when we say think three. Think three, because what we're doing is we're encouraging God's church to think and to dream and to imagine great things at least three generations into the future. And that means that beginning with me, that's the first, my peers, my age, and then two generations deep, that I will fight for the imagery of a generation that is coming along behind my generation. I will fight to see that they are mighty in the land. And when I don't think that they're really smart, I will remind myself they are mighty in the land. They are savvy, they are intelligent, technologically, like they are so far ahead and advanced. I'm talking about the younger generation, and I will remind myself God got something great for the future. And I will invest myself, and I will speak affirmation that they are mighty. Come on, the generation of the upright will be mighty. Come on, somebody shout mighty. Mighty. So we're saying we're not going to be a church that predicts negativity over our children and over the future. The Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Think three. Bible talks about it over and over again. You can go and watch it on our website, the messages that are entitled Think Three. Bottom line is, God doesn't want us to have a negative attitude about our children, but rather a positive, faith-filled imagination that says, I see our children. I'm talking about God's people today. And our children, I see them being mighty in the land. I see them blessed in the land. I see them rising up and being strong in the land. I might have come from poverty, but we're starting to turn it around in my generation. And my children, riches and wealth is going to be in their house. I see them strong. Come on, I see them healthy. I see them wealthy. I'm talking about imagery. Talking about imagery. And if you're here today, you're at our online campus, or you're in Tacoma here, or Bellevue, or wherever you might be, you can certainly leave here and insist on retaining your picture of gloom and doom about the future. You can prophesy yourself into that gloomy, doomy future. Like, if you insist that you're right about this, that the lights are fading out really slowly, and the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Pastor Kevin, you need to get a clue. Nothing but bad things ahead. Like, you can insist on that if you want. But I'm going to go with the promises of God's word that bring us a hope. Come on. That bring us a future. And I want to tell you that when you go that route, you literally are with the power of your own picture. You are bringing about what you are imagining in your mind and in your heart. If somehow I could turn you around today, if somehow I could get you to begin to shift your imagination and start to imagine something better, something greater. Start to imagine your own children in the future being mighty in the land, a legacy that will be strong and full of hope. It's our privilege today to usher in a greater generation. It's our privilege today to be part of something that is growing and that is bigger. You might right now, be focused way too much on the circumstances of the world and not centered enough on what God is actually doing in the earth. You may not realize that there's a growing kingdom that is growing right around us in cities and communities and towns. And Jesus said that it would come without observation, that we wouldn't be seeing it or noticing it unless we're really looking for it, because it would be rising up. And that's exactly what's happening right now, is that God's goodness and God's grace is being widespread and better known in the earth, and more people are finding Christ and finding hope, and there's light in the darkness. The darkness is great, and you can dwell on the darkness, but there is this light that is getting brighter, and it's like it's being turned up on a dimmer switch, and it's just starting to glow and get brighter. And I have a great hope today, and I will prophesy in that hope, and I will speak in that hope, and I will imagine, come on, our towns and our cities for the kingdom of God. I love what Moses spoke. Look at Deuteronomy. And before I go show the verse, let me tell you, I want you to grab. First of all, it started with Abram going for a walk, right? And then Abram hears the words, your children will be like the sand of the seashore. A couple chapters later, in the 15th chapter, I think, of Genesis, Abram's discouraged. He's like, God, my wife is barren, don't have no children, and all that I have is going to go to another family. The inheritance is going to go to somebody else. God, I want children. And God takes him out of the tent, and they go for another walk. God says, look up to the sky. And he looks up, and another word picture. Look at the stars. Abram, you see the stars? Yeah, God, I see the stars. That's your children. That's your children. Snap the photograph. Look at the stars. But God, my wife is barren. Look at the stars. Look at the stars. Sand. Stars. It's going to happen, Abram. It's going to happen, Abram. It's going to happen, Abram. It's going to happen. Abram is who we call the father of our faith, by the way. Well, here's what was handed down to Moses is the same concept. And it's called, in that day, it was the promised land. And God, we got enemies, and God, we're being oppressed, and God, we're in slavery, and God, yep, but keep believing. Keep the picture. Don't lose sight of the picture. So Moses says in Deuteronomy 1:11, one of the classic phrases and lines, and I want to show it to you. He's speaking over the future generations. He says, may the Lord, the God of your ancestors, increase you 1,000 times and bless you as he has promised. May the Lord your God. He wasn't saying, oh my goodness, we are in big trouble. Things are really going bad. Does anybody
Cana!
No. But things really were going bad in the natural. What does he do? He comes out with a powerful commitment to the word picture in his own imagination. And he doesn't just say, may the Lord bless you twice as much. I want you to get the verbiage. He is extreme here. He is may the Lord, the God of your ancestors, increase you 1,000 times and bless you and bless you and bless you. I speak to the 30-year-olds today. May the Lord increase you and bless you. I speak to the 20-something. May the Lord increase you and bless you. I speak to the teenagers. May the Lord, some of you are being called of God, and God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. You're going to have to fight to get there. But as for my voice, I'm going to proclaim, may the Lord increase you 1,000 times. May you win every battle that you engage in. May he bless you. May he prosper you. Nobody shout, wow. So our legacy is determined by what kind of generational vision and imagination that we have. And the third thing, this is the final thing, but I want to encourage you to have imagery of a new and better reality that you meditate on and pray for. There's things that you're going to notice in your life, each and every one of you, that are not supposed to stay as they are. You're going to notice it and you're going to feel something in you. I do a little something. I don't think I've shared this in a while, but this is just a simple little practice that I started years ago, and I got it from somewhere, somebody. And now I'll just, sometimes in my car or on a street or in an airport, I'll be drawn in a moment and somebody walking, and I will do what I call aim and release. I don't know them. I don't need to know them. I don't need to meet them. I just aim and I pray blessing over them. Father, bless them today. I might see a mother struggling with her children, and I aim and I release. I can go through the same airport and I can go down the same street and I can see the trouble and I could go, that's horrible, that's terrible, and then that's the end of it. Or I can see that I'm there and I'm supposed to be there. And I'm meant to be right where I am. And that the way I am is because of why I am. And that God actually is at work all the time to change current realities and create better realities on the planet and people's lives. Are you with me? So we're going to notice things, and you can see it, and you can, like, you can criticize. Oh boy, am I. You can join in the voice of negativity. Or when it comes to you and you see it, you can be a person who has an image of a better reality. And it could be on behalf of a person, it could be on behalf of a group, it could be on behalf of a city or a nation, but you can be that person through which a greater and better reality in the will of God is actually something you grab hold of, the power of a picture. Not as it is, but as you can see it being. And you know that God wants something better, and you just know that, and you sense it, and that can happen in a neighborhood. It can happen when you're watching television. It can happen. And by the way, I really I don't spend too much time watching news, and I get to a certain point and it'll mess up the image that I'm talking to you about today. I gotta get back to God's image and God's hope. Scripture says that I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope and a future. And sometimes if I'm not careful, I I go over here and I gotta bring myself back. I'm just like you are in this way, and I gotta refocus. I gotta look for a different picture than the picture that was coming to me. But I know that by doing that, I'm at least a part of something better. I know that by doing that, I'm coming in alignment with God. And then when I pray, and here's what I want you to realize is so important when you pray. Jesus said it like this. He said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. I used to read that and think, okay, I got to believe. And then one day it dawned on me, well, that means I got to have an imagination for that thing. And a lot of my prayers were actually seeing the opposite of what I was praying for. So I was praying in desperation. I was praying out of the fear of the crisis. I was praying out of the fear of it not going right. And one day I started realizing, Kevin, that what Jesus is saying here is when you pray, lock onto a picture of what you're praying for. Get in agreement. Don't let your prayer be one thing and I'm going to pray. My family, Lord, and their marriages are going bad. I feel tension right now between my husband and I. God, I did not get to see it already. God, we're going down the wrong road. God, this is going to be horrible. Please! You can do that for a few minutes because you're human. But if you really want to see something good happen, then you got to change the picture from the disaster and the enemy's future that he has for your life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Are you hearing me? And he wants to fill your mind with pictures that create fear and worry and get... He wants you to lock in on the worst possible outcome in every situation. And that's where you got to go through the file. You got to go through the file. I don't know about you, but every time we do family pictures or something, like, you know, we take 100 pictures, but we only like about 5 of them. The other one, we don't even want to see them anymore. And it's the same principle. It's like, I want to lock on to the ones that create the kind of future that I am believing for and that I'm desiring and that I'm praying. I'm praying for it. And then you forecast the future of God's promises in a way that help you in that scenario in your life. One of the great benefits and joys of going somewhere like the Philippines, like we just did, is that many years ago, our pastor there, Pastor Ancho, and I became close, and he looks to me as his pastor, and he would say to me things like, please bless me, please pray prayers of progress for my nation. And I think right now their average salary is about $7 a day, I think, something like that. And he would say, I'm believing God that we're going to be able to have a building. And sure enough, boom, they had a building. And it was a small building. And I remember walking through that building, and he was so thankful. And it wasn't long until the building's packed many times on the weekend. And he's saying, Pastor Kevin, I'm just believing God that, like, we're going to have a big building. Like, we're going to have a bigger one, Pastor Kevin. We're going to have a bigger building. And I don't know how it's going to happen, like, Pastor Kevin, but we're just believing God it's going to happen. And a businessman came along that was a part of their church and said, Pastor, what do we need to do? And he told him, and he said, well, here's my plan. I'm going to build a convention center. I'm really going to build it so we can have church on it, but I want to create a way to pay for it. So if you can have it on the weekends and we'll do other things with it during the week, then that plan's going to work. And they built this Coliseum for the church. And that's where we had our conference, in a third world country. And now I'm talking to Pastor Ancho, and he's going, Pastor Kevin, there's another businessman, a different businessman. And Pastor Kevin, he's been talking to me, and they're going to build
a new Colosseum, and it's going to be bigger, and it's going to have all the lights and all the really cool stuff. And Pastor Kevin, it's going to happen, and probably going to be in it in less than a year. And in my head, I'm going, this is not possible without a man like Ancho, who is in a third world nation where they make $7 average a day. And he is seeing the church, and he is seeing the building. Come on. And he is imagining something greater.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.